Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the chair of the Umma bombing inquiry says his investigation may be the last chance to find out if the atrocity could have been prevented. Letterkenny Milford Municipal District is set to adopt a draft local budget of €250,000 for the coming year. Deputy Thomas Pringle says the public have been left to suffer from government inaction on health services, and inquiries are continuing into a house fire in Letterkenny last night. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news though, a victim of rape and coercive control by her ex-husband hopes she can move on with her life after he was sentenced. Earlier this week, 48-year-old Sergio Correa of Front Street, Ardragh, County Donegal, was jailed for 8 years for the rape and coercive control of his wife in 2019. Kathleen Correa waived her right to anonymity to allow her ex-husband to be named. She says she is grateful that justice was served.
The thing I feel is relief that it's all over, as in the legal side of things, because that goes on for a very, very long time and it's always hanging over you. So there is relief that, you know, it's done and I can breathe now that, you know, I got through it. And I think, you know, also I'm grateful that justice was served as well.
The chair of the Umma bombing inquiry says his investigation may be the last chance to find out if the atrocity could have been prevented. He's written an open letter inviting those affected to submit personal statements. Ellen Butler has more.
In 1998, a car bomb planted by the Real IRA ripped through Umma town centre. 29 people were killed, including a woman pregnant with twins. In the letter published today, Chairman Andrew Turnbull says he needs to fully understand the significance of the bombing and its impact. Hearings will take place in January and February to commemorate those killed and to hear personal statements from those affected by the bombing. He's today inviting anyone who wants to share their experience to do so.
The Letterkenny Milford Municipal District is set to adopt a draft local budget of €250,000 for the coming year. The bulk of that will go to the council's development fund, under which each member will have a discretionary €25,000 to allocate as they see fit. The council's director of finance, Richard Gibson, told members there are a number of challenges, including inflation, facing the council, and today's decision is part of an ongoing process which may involve an increase in the commercial rate. All members expressed concern at that prospect and called for a restructuring of how local government is financed. Mayor Councillor Jerry McMonagall says today's discussion again highlights the need for local government reform.
It's just deja vu the day again. We have the cart before the horse. We're asked to pass a budget before we actually know the actual figures and all that for the MDs. So, look, it is what it is. It's the legislation and that we have to act to the legislation. But the big decisions are going to be made in Lifford on December the 4th and we have many a big decision to make that day.
Judging by some of the things said by the finance director today, one of the discussions that's going to take place potentially on December 4th is a discussion on the potential increase in the commercial rate. Is it inevitable that that discussion now happens this year?
I'd say that discussion is probably ongoing at the minute. There hasn't been an increase in rates for a number of years now, I think since 2019. And we've heard today the rising costs there is to the council, the ambition that the council has and to deliver services for the people. If we're to do that, then we need to find other ways to fund the council. There's no decisions being made to increase rates, but we're going to have to look at all the options that are open to us.
If there was one underlying theme from this meeting, coming from yourselves as councillors and, in fairness, from Richard Gibson himself, it appears to be the structure of local government funding must be reviewed.
Oh, without a doubt. We've been saying that for a number of years now. The way local government is funded is not adequate and it's not working. We're left with either the local property tax or the rise in the rates, and this is just not feasible. The government gave us a lot of grants during the year that we have to match fund. The income that we get from local property tax and rates at the minute is not balancing the books for us. We need to have an overhaul of how local government is funded in Ireland.
Well, independent councillor Declan Meehan criticised national government, accusing ministers of promoting a good cop, bad cop scenario when it comes to rates. He said the government focuses on giveaways in the national budget, with local authorities being forced to raise commercial rates because of a lack of core funding.
We've got a completely dysfunctional funding model whereby the county councils, local authorities across the country, are forced with having to potentially increase rates, increase local property tax at a time where national government in Dublin is cutting taxes for people and is giving money away hand over fist. So you do have a good cop, bad cop routine in government between central government and local government.
The budget is going to come directly after a general election, and much of the talk before the budget is going to come during an election campaign. Is that going to make this particular budget even more difficult?
I think it will make this budget quite difficult for anyone who is contesting the general election in particular, because they think that they're going to have to nail their colours to the mast in terms of what they're agreeing to or disagreeing with during the budgetary process.
The public have been left to suffer from government inaction on health services. That's the view of Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle, who told the Dáil earlier today that the health service is at breaking point, giving the example of Letterkenny University Hospital having to cancel elective procedures recently as a result of overcrowding. He's renewed his calls for a greater focus on recruitment and retention at the hospital, additional ambulances and crews for Donegal, along with other measures. Deputy Pringle says recruitment is one issue, but retention is another.
I've been raising the fact that Letterkenny University Hospital needs urgent reform and far greater focus on recruitment for years now. Just 2 months ago, Letterkenny University Hospital was forced to cancel patient surgeries due to overcrowding, as over 1,000 patients attended the emergency department in 1 week. Overcrowding adds significant pressure to the already extremely stressful environment that workers in Letterkenny are having to endure, and adds to the distress of the patients in Donegal who are forced to wait even longer to access necessary treatment. Last year saw over 4,000 hospital cancellations at Letterkenny University Hospital. It is clear that understaffing is a significant issue in Letterkenny, and the staffing levels across the public health service need to be addressed immediately. But as I often say, recruitment is only part of the solution. We need to be focusing on retention as well. I have seen so many young medical professionals from Donegal leave in search of a better life and a much better health system to work in, and that is to be expected given the immense stress and pressure they are forced to work in under in the HSE. It is vitally important that we are doing everything we can to retain all health workers, including migrant doctors, nurses and consultants, who play a vital role in our hospitals and who keep our healthcare system from collapsing. In June of this year, I raised the fact that there are multiple cases of doctors and consultants that have been unsuccessful in securing visas for their partners or children with the minister. Many of these doctors and consultants have been forced to take the decision to leave Ireland, and I am sure that the minister is aware of this already, and yet he refuses to do anything about it.
Meanwhile, the Taoiseach has pledged to reduce the level of agency staff required by the health service by 2/3 in 2025. It's after it emerged the state spent €650 million on temporary staff provided through an agency in 2023. That's compared to over €350 million in 2019, according to figures obtained through a Sinn Féin parliamentary question. Speaking in the Dáil, Taoiseach Simon Harris says the government is in the process of recruiting permanent staff.
I went through, including your own local hospital in the matter, the material difference that's made in terms of hundreds of additional nurses working on the ground, thousands of extra doctors, thousands of extra healthcare professionals. You can say all that, Deputy, and you can acknowledge that to be true, and also say that yes, there are still pinch points and yes, there is still more to do.
Inquiries are continuing into a house fire in Letterkenny last night. Gardaí have confirmed that two people were injured in the blaze, which broke out at around 10 o'clock last night in the Ballymacool area. The pair were treated at the scene by ambulance personnel for what Gardaí have described as non-life-threatening injuries. A Midlands Northwest MEP has urged the European Parliament to prioritise the safety of Irish peacekeepers serving in Lebanon. MEP Kieran Mullooly, speaking in Strasbourg, highlighted the urgent need for international intervention in the Middle East. Over 370 Irish soldiers from the 124th Infantry Battalion are currently deployed with UNIFIL forces in Lebanon. Mr. Mullooly strongly argued that the actions of Israel must be punished.
The horror of the violent onslaught on Gaza is a live TV news event as we speak. Cameras are showing the bombings every hour, and over 40,000 people have already died there. Israel has the right to defend itself, but this is outrageous. It must also respect international law. And in years to come, I wonder what the historians will say about what we did in this house, or what we did not do, perhaps more to the point. And in the middle of it all are 370 Irish soldiers in the 124th Infantry Battalion supporting the UNIFIL forces there. Young men and women from the Custrin Barracks in Athlone, from the Curragh and County Donegal, who have been attacked day after day. The peacekeepers. I spoke to the father of one of these just 20 minutes ago. His son is now in a bunker for more than 40 hours. A peacekeeper under attack. What a disgrace. The father asks us, why are Israel trying to kill his son, a peacekeeper? Ladies and gentlemen, the time for action is long gone. A violation of international law must be punished.
Thank you very much.
A Donegal-based senator has questioned why the government is not supporting children in direct provision. The government previously promised to introduce an additional monthly international protection child payment. Senator Eileen Flynn has warned that unless action is taken, in years to come the government will be forced to issue a state apology for how those living in direct provision were treated. She told Junior Minister Joe O'Brien that it's totally unacceptable that this is allowed to continue.
If it's not good enough for white settled children, why is it good enough for children living in direct provision? Why is the government not supporting children in direct provision? You remark my words, if we're alive to see it in the next 20, 30 years, this state will have to give a state apology for how they treated people in direct provision and the inequalities that they're standing by watching children in direct provision living in. Minister, I don't mean to sound any way hateful towards you, far from it, but it's absolutely appalling that, you know, the money is there, the plan to implement it is there, and why the government can't move on it is absolutely beyond me. Who are we to say that a child matters more or matters less? And right now, the government of Ireland is saying that the child living in direct provision matters less.
Thank you, Senator. And I can't think of too many policy areas that are probably more important than trying to tackle child poverty. And for the here and now, but for into the future as well. And in terms of Minister O'Gorman's role in that regard and the white paper, he's secured the budget. We've had engagement with DSP on the rates of what the payment would be like for each child. We need the Department of Social Protection to implement it, to roll out the payment. And frankly, Senator, I don't have a good explanation for you today as to why that's not happening. And that's an issue. And thanks for raising it. Thank you.
Highland Sport, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, stocking the ultimate running shoe to take you through winter. The ASICS Gel Cumulus 26 GTX. With waterproof Gore-Tex technology, these shoes will keep your feet dry and cushioned mile after mile.
At 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Champions League football, and Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers insists his team won't play within themselves. Tonight, the Hoops were hammered 7-1 by Borussia Dortmund in their last European outing. That result prompted calls from some fans for Celtic to adopt a more cautious approach in this evening's clash with Atalanta in Italy. But Rodgers says he remains committed to having an attacking philosophy.
From the very beginning, my coaching has always been aggressive. Till the day I finish, it will be aggressive. I'm also respectful that you're playing play against teams at a certain level and certain opponents where you have to really look at their strengths. And I don't say I don't do that in every game, because I do.
That game involving Celtic kicks off at 5:45. Liverpool can make it 3-1 from three in the competition with victory at RB Leipzig. They arrive in Germany with a depleted squad, with Diego Jota, the latest player to be kept out with injury. Manager Arne Slot's been impressed by his team's performances in the competition so far, but he's holding off on his thoughts about the new format.
If you would say to me, okay, tell me what you think about it, because I want to have an answer, I would tell you, okay, I like it. But that has only to do with us having 6 points out of two games. That has nothing to do with the format. So we have to wait and see what the end result of this format is. And you can only judge that after the group stage is done.
Elsewhere, Manchester City face Sparta Prague, and there's a meeting of European heavyweights as Barcelona host Bayern Munich. All those games kick off at 8 o'clock. Republic of Ireland defender Anna Patton insists they won't be taking anything for granted against Georgia in the their European 2025 playoff. The first leg of their semi-final tie takes place in Tbilisi on Friday before the return fixture in Tallinn next Tuesday. Patton can play for Ireland through her Irish grandparents. Her grandfather is from Fulcara in the county. In qualifying for the 2023 World Cup, Ireland beat Georgia 11-9-0 in their two meetings, but Patton says they have to be ready for a different challenge this time around.
We can't look at the previous results. Obviously, they're in the playoffs for a reason. And I think because they are playoffs, there's an extra level to it. It's almost like cup game fixtures. You never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, we've got to be really on it, really on our best game, and just, yeah, focus on the task ahead.
Eamon Sheridan has been confirmed as the new manager of the Oscar Traynor Donegal League team. The former Rathmullen Celtic boss takes over the reins from John Francis Dugan, who spent 1 year in the role and led Donegal to the semi-final stage of the competition last year. Sheridan is now tasked with the job of trying to guide Donegal to a first Oscar Traynor title in over 40 years. On the rugby front, Ciarán Doris has been named Ireland captain for next month's Autumn International Series. Cormac Ezechukwu and Sam Prendergast are the two uncapped players in the 35-man squad, which was released this afternoon. Doris succeeds Peter O'Mahony, who has made the squad but may not be available for the opening game against New Zealand due to a hamstring injury. Rob Herring, Ronan Kelleher and Kieran Frawley are also on, despite carrying respective knocks. The men in green kick off the series against the All Blacks at the Aviva on November 8th. Joshua Brennan has been named in France's squad for the November games. The son of former Ireland international Trevor Brennan played for Le Blues at under 20 level. His Toulouse teammate Anton Dupont returns to international duty following his sabbatical for the Paris Olympics. The Gaelic Players Association says it is opposed to pre-season competitions being reinstated for next year. Competitions such as Ulster's Dr. McKenna Cup have been scrapped for next season, as decided by the GAA's Central Council in September. Cavan GAA has tabled a motion for this Saturday's Central Council meeting to reinstate the competitions. But in a statement this afternoon, the GPA said that reversing that decision now would prioritise financial income over the health and well-being of our amateur athletes, despite overwhelming evidence of player burnout. It's going to be a busy evening on the college's front once again for ATU Donegal. The senior men's Gaelic footballers and the freshers footballers are in Belfast taking on Queen's University this evening, where the ATU hurlers meet Ulster University in Coleraine in Division 3 of their league. Finally, in snooker, Mark Allen has been knocked out off the Northern Ireland Open. The home favourite lost 4-3 to England's Oliver Lyons in the second round in Belfast today. Former world champion Neil Robertson resumes his campaign this evening, taking on Wang Yong Chen of China at 7 o'clock. There you go, Michaela. That's your sport. We'll have more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Aisin. And returning to some news, an Oireachtas committee is the latest to call for a health-led approach to cannabis use. It's published 59 recommendations for government. Among them is using cannabis clubs. These kinds of clubs are common in Spain, where they've operated for over 20 years. Committee Chair Deputy Gino Kenny says the report from the Citizens' Assembly last year was in members' minds.
There was, I think, political consensus for the committee members. And, you know, I think there was, again, there was consensus on moving things forward in terms of the Citizens' Assembly's recommendation, looking for a harm reduction and health-led approach.
1,000 Ukrainian refugees are currently residing in Donegal. According to the Central Statistics Office, just under 110,000 people have arrived in Ireland from Ukraine since Russia's invasion. Tom Douglas has more.
In September last, a total of 7,942 Ukrainian arrivals were recorded to be living in Donegal, registered with PPS numbers. It's the fourth highest figure in Ireland behind Dublin, Cork and Kerry. Of this figure, 2,008 were located in the Donegal local electoral area, accounting for 7% of the population there. 1,544 were in Letterkenny and 1,533 were in Glenties, making up 5% and 6% of those populations respectively. In Carndonagh, the Ukrainian community totaled to 895, or 5% of the population. Similarly, Milford recorded 817 new arrivals, which is 6% of the population. Finally, the Lifford, Stranorlar and Buncrana electoral areas both saw 2% of the population to be from Ukraine, totalling to 656 and 489 in each district.
For weather now, mostly cloudy for the rest of today and dry apart from isolated patches of light drizzle. Breezy and cloudy tonight, mild with lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. A victim of rape and coercive control hopes her decision to waive her anonymity will help others. Earlier this week, 48-year-old Sergio Correa of Front Street, Ardragh, County Donegal, was jailed for 8 years for the rape and coercive control of his wife in 2019. The chair of the OMA bombing inquiry says his investigation may be the last chance to find out if the atrocity could have been prevented. He's written an open letter inviting those affected to submit personal statements. The Letterkenny Milford Municipal District is set to adopt a draft local budget of €250,000 for the coming year. The bulk of that will go to the council's development fund, under which each member will have a discretionary €25,000 to allocate as they see fit. And the public have been left to suffer from government inaction on health services. That's the view of Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle, who told The Dáil earlier today that the health service is at breaking point, giving the example of Letterkenny University Hospital having to cancel elective procedures recently as a result of overcrowding. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 23rd of October. The death has occurred of Jim Crilly, Gortnamuck, Castle Finn, reposing at the family home. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for service of thanksgiving for the life of Jim at 2:00 in Alt Presbyterian Church. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Cardiovascular Unit, Galway University Hospital, care of any family member or Charles Lynch, Funeral Director. Reposing at his home from 12 noon until 10 p.m. with family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of James Crawford, Alt Lower, Castle Finn. Reposing at the family home from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St. Columbus Church, Dunnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Tilly Spratt, née Sweeney, Gary Harry, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence, which is private to family and neighbours only, please. Funeral leaving Tilly's late residence on Friday afternoon at 1:15, going to Conwell Parish Church, Letterkenny, for service of thanksgiving at 2:00. Interment afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Susan McDermott, 91 St Finian's Park, Moville. Susan's remains are en route to her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for 11:00 funeral mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by interment in Buchan Graveyard. The funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Frank Kelly, Ross Cad, Creasla. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow morning at 11. Burial afterwards in Doe Graveyard. The mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Falkara Community Hospital Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or James Harkin, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Cabrini McConnellogue, Drumore Lower, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence until 10:00 this evening. Funeral mass in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, at 11:00 tomorrow morning, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of Jim Medlin, Funeral Director, or any family member. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.